Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Anyone here care anything about basketball? That's a silly question in Kentucky, isn't it? You know, if there's one thing people in Kentucky are passionate about, it's basketball. Doesn't matter if it's college or high school or elementary school. And there is not a coach in Kentucky, nor anywhere else in the world for that matter, that would put less than five players on the floor to play a game. Anything less than five players puts your team at a great disadvantage. A coach wouldn't even put all five players on the floor and then say to two of them, "You just stay down at this end of the floor. Don't cross the midcourt line at any time. You just stay down here." Well, that still puts them at a disadvantage. Now, there are some schools that are playing like they're playing with less than five players. Did you know that this is the first time since 1961 that UK, Duke, and North Carolina have not been ranked? And that's just a side note. That has nothing to do with the sermon. Well, just like a basketball team, the church needs all five functions of the gift that Christ gave to the church. The gift that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the equipping of the saints to do the ministry of the church. Last week we looked at what it meant to be an apostle. An apostle is a secular term that means to be an envoy or an ambassador to represent a king or a ruler. And it doesn't just refer to the 12 apostles plus Paul. They just happen to be the first ones that are listed, first ones that Jesus sent out into the world. According to Jesus' commission, we are all to be sent people. An apostle is the one who is sent. And those who are gifted to be apostles are meant to equip the rest of us to do apostolic ministry, to do sent ministry. The apostle is the one who tends to favor entrepreneurial edges of the church. They have a natural capacity for adventure. They tend to be less risk adverse. And following their pioneering instinct, they're the ones most likely to engage in innovative ministries that take the gospel into new territory. The church needs those who are gifted to be an apostle. And the second function gifted to the church is that of prophet. And prophet, like apostle, is another one of those biblical functions that we might not think is relevant today. We might again say to ourselves, "What, a prophet? I can't be a prophet. I can't be like Isaiah or Elijah." But Jesus gifted some to be a prophet, to be prophets, again, for the equipping of the saints. The church today needs legitimate prophets. Now, most people see a prophet as, we often think of the prophet as the one who foretells the future. And there are certainly passages in the Old Testament prophets that point us toward the Savior, but that's a tiny, tiny piece of what the prophets in the Old Testament do. I remember Dr. Long, my Old Testament professor at Western. I remember him describing a prophet as not someone who foretells the future, but someone who foretells the truth. The prophet is the one who calls the community to faithfulness in their relationship with God and in their relationship with their neighbors. The prophet is to declare God's word to the people. The passage from Isaiah that I read this morning is kind of a typical passage from a prophet. Isaiah is calling out Israel for their unfaithfulness. "All sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, offspring who do evil, children who deal corruptly, who have forsaken the Lord, who have despised the Holy One of Israel, who are utterly estranged. Isaiah also raises the question of God's dissatisfaction with their worship. I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. Incense is an abomination to me. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your appointed festivals my soul hates. The people's hearts were not right with God when they came to worship. They're not in a right relationship with God or with their neighbor, and the prophet is calling them to faithfulness. The prophet declares more of God's message for Israel. Wash yourself, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil from your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan, plead for the widow. The prophet reminds Israel and reminds us today of our responsibility to love and care for our neighbors, especially those neighbors who are powerless. The esteemed Old Testament professor Walter Brueggemann, in his book on prophetic ministry, is absolutely clear that Jesus is the fulfillment, and as he says, the quintessence, can't even say the word this morning, of the prophetic tradition. It's hard to imagine that anyone would not be able to identify Jesus as a prophet, one who reveals himself as God's Word. Jesus' message was one for the people, a message to repent, to turn from our sin, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Those are some of his very first public words to us. Jesus' call to faithfulness is not just to the notorious sinner, but his words are also to the religious elite. For he said to them, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, the prostitutes will enter the kingdom before you do. You strain at gnats and swallow camels. You're like whitewashed tombs. You're all nice and white on the outside, but full of corruption on the inside. You clean the outside of the cup, but the inside is full of rot and stench." Jesus is our example of a prophet, calling us to be faithful in our relationship with God and neighbor. And because of that, the prophetic function has two dimensions. It has a vertical dimension and it has a horizontal dimension. The vertical is concerned with us maintaining our consistent attentiveness to God, of guarding our covenant relationship with God. It is sensitive to situations of life-giving relationship with God and when those relationships have been damaged and broken. The vertical dimension of the prophet will cultivate a culture of God-centeredness through worship. It'll also highlight our need for a time of listening prayer and responsible and responsive obedience to God. Whether it's an Old Testament prophet or Jesus or a prophet today, that vertical part of their task is to help us stay connected to God, to point out to us when we have drifted away from our faithfulness to God. The prophet's job is to remind us of God's ever-abiding love and faithfulness to us and encourage us to return to our faithfulness to God. And when we don't, it's the prophet's responsibility to point out our lack of love and faithfulness and to call us to repentance. The vertical dimension strives to keep us in a right relationship with God. The horizontal dimension of a prophet strives to keep us in right relationship with one another. The relationship with others comes from our obligation to be faithful to love our neighbor. A covenant-keeping relationship with God requires us to be holy, just, and righteous people, just as God is holy, just, and righteous. The prophet is a voice for justice. They speak for the voiceless, the poor, the marginalized, the downtrodden, those who have no base of power from which to seek their own justice. The prophet reminds us of Jesus and his call to care for the least of these, that are among us, those graced with the prophetic calling will do all that they can to listen to God, to see what God sees, to feel what God feels, to speak and act on God's behalf, to call people to faithfulness and obedience. Prophets are often agitators for change. In the name of greater faithfulness, they will tend to ask pointed questions to highlight God's call, to highlight the gap between our obedience and God's will, to highlight our responsibility to act accordingly. The prophetic function is probably the most difficult of all of those five gifts that were given to the church. It's a dangerous job. People are not fond of having someone call out their unfaithfulness to God, to call out their lack of love for their neighbor. Prophets often end up dead. Maybe not in this time and place, but maybe. You know what happened to Jesus? Anyone who wants to be a prophet is someone who wants it for some reason other than a legitimate reason. I don't think anyone seeks to be a prophet. That is, for a legitimate reason. Now, there are plenty of people in our world today who want to tell others that they're wrong, but a megaphone does not a prophet make. Jesus warned us about false prophets, and He called us to test the prophet's message. And we test that message first and foremost by Scripture. But in our Wesleyan tradition, we also test it against tradition, reason, and experience. As difficult as the job is, the church needs prophets today. We need their message. We need their call to repentance for those times when we are not faithful in our relationship with God or our relationship to our neighbor. We need them to point us in the right direction when we have lost our way. The prophet also brings messages of hope and encouragement when we are faithful, when we are being redeemed. And we need that message as well. The church today, the church needs the prophets to step forward. We need all five of those gifts. And we can't neglect the most difficult one. Will the prophets in the church step forward in a day when we need them the most? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.